It reminds me of a little joke that I read. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and finally he created Adam and Eve, and he put them in the garden, and he said, "Now, don't eat the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden." Well, they went and they ate some anyhow. So God started to go towards them, and of course they ran and hid, and he called them out and said, "Did you eat the fruit?" And of course Adam said, "Well, it was Eve's fault," the first tattletale. And Eve said, "Well, it was the serpent, he deceived me." And so God decided that he really wanted to teach Adam and Eve what their behavior was like, so he decided to give them children, and that's why we get to have children today. Anyway, that might not be exactly theologically correct. Today's message, the title is Understanding and Applying God's Pattern for Creation. During the Elul prayer meetings, I felt God was directing me to look at the first several verses in Genesis, and I started seeing them in a way that I never had before. We've talked about patterns in the Bible, or types as it's called, and I believe that that's true of everything in creation, that there are patterns that God places in there. So we know God created the heavens and the earth. The Hebrew word bara is used in Genesis 1 to describe the supernatural creation from nothing by God. And bara is often used to describe God's creative work. People, on the other hand, make things from what God created. So we don't create from nothing necessarily as far as material objects, but even though God created the world, we as human beings have a part in creating conditions in our minds and in the world around us. And in a way, we actually create ourselves. Now, I know God is the creator, we're his workmanship, but we have a part in creating ourselves. Our beliefs determine our thinking. Have you stopped to think about that? We create our way of thinking according to what we have chosen to believe. And our thinking determines how we interact with the world around us, with each other, and with God. Our actions then impact those around us. Likewise, we are impacted by the beliefs, thinking, and actions of others. This is a major part of mankind's creative process, the circumstances in which people live and in which the world lives. In other words, people cause conditions on earth by creating a way of thinking that corresponds to our beliefs and then living accordingly. Now, the Bible tells us the method that God used when he created the heavens and the earth. He used a very specific order to create. And throughout the Bible, elements of God's creation are used as examples to bring understanding to various concepts. Unfortunately, people often exercise creativity using a pattern very different from God's pattern. As a result, conditions on earth and conditions in our minds are not how God intends them to be. We create environments that are often harsh and hostile to those around us, and we create a world that's anything but paradise. Amen? By seeing how we have deviated from God's creative pattern, we can understand why the conditions in the world around us are not the way God intended. We as people can use God's creative pattern, on the other hand, to improve conditions in the world around us, and we can use that as a pattern for recreating who we are. My proposition is this: when we choose to create our way of thinking, our beliefs, and our actions contrary to God's pattern, the results are disastrous for us and for the world around us. However, by following God's pattern for creation, we can recreate ourselves and our surroundings to be more like God intended. So the first point that I want to make is we need to understand what light is. The first step in creation, in our creation, is understanding what light is. Scientists understand some principles that help us use light for our purposes, but we don't really understand what light is. For instance, some people say light is a waveform. Other people say light is particles. And there are ways of doing experiments that prove that light is a wave and that light is particles. Even then, it's not clear exactly what energy is, but we know it exists, don't we? We believe that there is light because we see it. We don't have to fully understand it. Bible tells us in Genesis 1, verses 1 through 3, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was chaos and waste. Darkness was on the surface of the deep, and the Ruach Elohim was hovering over the surface of the water. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now the Hebrew words translated chaos and waste in this verse is tohu vavohu. Other versions translate this as waste and empty, void and empty, without form and void, formless and desolate. This is the condition of things without light. Formless, desolate, waste. Light often signifies good and truth and righteousness in the Bible. And without goodness and truth and righteousness, there's desolation and waste, formless and void. God and only God establishes what is good and true. And you'll hear me say that throughout. We often have our own ideas of what's good and true, but God is the one who made light. God is the one who made truth, and he is the only one. We only have a choice to choose to believe or not believe. Now, our understanding of light can be an example to help us understand goodness and truth. David understood God's word, and his truth are like light for us. They guide us through the darkness. Psalm 119, verse 105 tells us, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. David also told us in Psalm 43, verses 3 and 4, send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain and to your dwelling places. Then I will come to the altar of God, to God of my exceeding joy, and praise you upon the harp, O God, my God. See, David understood something about light, how it represents things of God. And he also understood that Adonai is not only light, he is also salvation. Psalm 27, verse 1. Adonai is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? Adonai is the stronghold of my life. Whom should I dread? See, in order to use and benefit from light, we don't really need to understand what light is, do we? When you turn on the switch, do you understand how electrons flow through the wires from the power plant and go to the light and cause light? We don't need to know that. We just turn the switch on. We only have to believe that light exists, and we have to live in a way that uses it properly. We make sure we do some things that require light for us to see clearly when there actually is light. We don't try reading a book in the dark. Turn on a light. Either during the day or with artificial light, we make sure we have light when we need it. When we choose to do some things without light, they get much more difficult, don't they? When we understand that God alone determines what light is, we can choose to believe his truth and then live in the way he intends us to live. But one thing is very, very important to understand. There are no shades of gray with God. He is only light. John tells us in 1 John 1, verse 5, now this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Very important to understand that. We have to settle it in our minds. What God says is true is true. What God says is false is false. What God says is good is good. What God says is evil is evil. But creating light was only part of God's creative process, and understanding goodness and truth is only part of our creative process. So my first point was understand what light is. My second point, this is very important, separate light from darkness. The Genesis narrative continues. Genesis 1 verses 4 and 5 tell us, God saw that the light was good, so God distinguished the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So there was evening and there was morning one day. Notice the verse, God clearly says light is good. It also says God distinguished the light from the darkness. He made a clear distinction between them. Most English versions of the Bible say God divided or separated the light from the darkness. The light and the darkness are not the same. Darkness is actually an absence of light. Evil is actually an absence of good. In the same way, good and evil are not the same. Truth and lies are not the same, regardless of what anybody chooses to believe. When we choose to believe that evil is good or that a lie is true, we set ourselves up to encounter some very serious consequences. For example, God clearly told Adam and Eve the truth that they would die if they ate the fruit from the tree in the midst of the garden. Adam chose to believe the lie and ate the fruit. Guess what? The world we're in today is a result of Adam's decision. When we don't separate light from darkness, good from evil, we can actually confuse them. We have to have a clear understanding of what is good according to God and what is evil, what is true according to God and what is false. And again, God is the only one that can establish good and truth. This creation is his game. He set the rules. That's the way it works. Choosing to believe what God calls evil is actually good does not make it good. Just because you believe it. Many of the problems in the world and in our lives are as a result of confusing good and evil, truth and lies. The Bible tells us in John 11, verses 9 and 10, Yeshua answered, "Aren't there 12 hours in the day? If a man walks in the day, he doesn't stumble because he sees the light of the world. But if a man should walk around at night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." Addiction, for example, can be the result of walking in darkness, believing lies. When a person has an addiction to a substance, that person has usually chosen to believe the lie that getting high is not necessarily bad, but it's somehow good. If they truly believed using the substance was bad, they never would have used it in the first place. But as a result of believing a lie, they often put themselves into a severe life-controlling bondage just because they believed a lie. We need to separate or distinguish the light from darkness, the good from evil, the truth from the lie, in order to live a life free from bondage to the sin of the world, the flesh, and the devil. I was talking to a man in jail about his addiction to a substance, and I decided to try acting something out to him. I held out my hand to him, and I said, "Here's an ice pick." Of course, there was no ice pick. It was imaginary. For obvious reasons, they wouldn't let me bring one in the jail. As he reached for the ice pick, I said, "Now, stick it in your eye." He immediately said, "You're crazy." There was not a bit of hesitation. I challenged him. I said, "Well, what if I told you, here's a shot, stick it in your mouth. Would you think I'm crazy? What if I told you, here's a needle, stick it in your arm. Would you think I'm crazy? What if I told you, here's a straw, stick it in your nose. Would you think I'm crazy?" He didn't answer. See, he separated the light from the darkness about sticking the ice pick in his eye, but he did not separate the light and the darkness regarding those substances. The truth is, they are just as bad as misusing the ice pick. But in his mind, he had not separated the light and the darkness. See, many problems caused by people in the world today are a result of not making a clear distinction between light and darkness, between good and evil, between true and false. After describing several of the ways that people were choosing to live contrary to God's Torah, the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 59, verses 9 and 10, "This is why justice is far from us, and righteousness does not reach us. We hope for light, but behold darkness, for brightness, but walk in gloom. We grope along the wall like the blind. We grope like those with no eyes. We stumble at noon as at twilight. We are like the dead in desolation." When people separate the light from the darkness improperly and choose to exchange evil for good, all kinds of problems result. Again, only God is capable of declaring what is good and evil. We only have a choice to believe him or to make up our own way. We can make our own decisions, but that doesn't make it right. How sincerely we believe is unimportant when it comes to believing the truth. Several years ago, there was a group of men who believed that it would be pleasing to God to fly jet planes into the World Trade Center. They sincerely believed that with all their heart. What was the result of that belief? See, another problem is just as bad. when we understand good and evil, but choose not to separate them. In other words, we do some things God says are evil. Maybe we don't think they're that serious, so we just ignore the fact that they're bad. Maybe we were trained to do that. Maybe we learned that it was okay. We can choose, for instance, to believe that sexual relationships are only acceptable to God within the confines of marriage, or outside of marriage is okay. We can choose to believe that marriage is a relationship between one man and one woman, or that it can be anything we decide. We can choose to believe that human life is sacred because God makes people in his image, or we can choose to believe that it's so irrelevant that we can kill the unborn. The light of God's word clearly tells us there's only one race of people, the human race, descended from one man and one woman. But unfortunately, some people have beliefs that it's acceptable to mistreat people depending on the color of their skin or their gender. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that's okay. It's now becoming fashionable to believe you are whatever gender you choose to be. I actually heard that there is a man who's going to court. He's in his 60s and he wants to have his age changed to 49. Because he believes he's 49 and he thinks that will give him much more success in getting dates. It'll be interesting to see how that turns out. Choosing to mix the light and the darkness causes problems. The problems that come from mixing light and darkness sometimes are progressive. Just as the evil in our world progressed from eating a piece of forbidden fruit, the same thing can happen in our lives. First, people may lust after each other in their hearts. Next, they decide to have a sexual relationship before committing each other to marriage. Next, they decide to terminate the pregnancy that resulted from believing the first two lies. This can result in a condition called post-abortion syndrome, where the battle for the mind intensifies. It can be mild, causing mood problems, or it can be so severe that people's lives get out of control and they're thrust into addictions or other behavior problems. Now, I want to tell you, if you're in that situation today, or you know someone who is, please know that God can forgive you and Yeshua can bring healing to you. Yeshua can set you free from the spiritual bondage you're in. You don't have to live in it forever. Yeshua is the only way to that freedom. And freedom in Messiah here at Shema Yisrael can help you with that. But understand, it was a progressive steps of believing lies that got into that problem in the first place. When we choose to live in darkness, believing things contrary to God's word, we harm our relationship with God and with others. And this is perhaps the greatest problem with choosing to believe lies. John tells us in 1 John verses 6 and 7, if we say we have fellowship with him and keep walking in the darkness, we are lying and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his son Yeshua purifies us from all sin. Do you see how that disrupts the relationships, walking in the darkness? Again, who decides what light is? God, and only God, not me. Solomon compared righteousness and wickedness to walking in light and darkness. Proverbs 4, verse 18 and 19 tell us, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, shining brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. How much of what we see as evil in the world is causing people to stumble, and they don't even know that they're stumbling over their own beliefs? How often can we stumble over our own beliefs? See, we have an advantage over all the saints of the Old Covenant. We have the example of Yeshua, who plainly stated that he is the light of the world. John 8, verse 12, Yeshua spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. The one who follows me will no longer walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We have a choice. Follow Yeshua or do it our own way. That's the choice. When we choose to live according to darkness, we will stumble. It's just a question of when and how badly we will stumble, but we will stumble. Unfortunately, most of the world chooses to live in darkness. So the first point was understand what light is. Second was separate light from darkness. The third thing that happened was separate the waters. See, water is necessary for life, isn't it? We cannot live without it. The Bible tells us that God separated the waters. Continuing on in Genesis 1, verses 6 through 8, then God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the water. Let it be for separating water from water. So God made the expanse, and it separated the water that was below the expanse from the water that was over the expanse. And it happened so. God called the expanse sky. So there was evening, and there was morning the second day. There's different kinds of water, and we have to separate them in our lives. There's good water, there's stagnant water, there's poison water. Jeremiah understood the significance of water and compared it to God's influence in our life. Jeremiah 2, verses 12 and 13, he says, be appalled at this, O heavens, be utterly horrified and dumbfounded. It is a declaration of Adonai. My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and they dug their own cisterns, cracked cisterns that hold no water, trying to do it their own way. He also knew that Adonai is the only one with life-giving water. Jeremiah 17:13 tells us, Adonai, you are the hope of Israel. All who forsake you will be ashamed. Those who depart from you will be written in the dirt, for they have forsaken Adonai, the fountain of living waters. According to the prophet Isaiah, God compared his ruach, or his spirit, with water. Isaiah 44, verses 1 through 3, he says, but now listen, Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says Adonai, who made you, who formed you from the womb, who will help you. Do not fear, Jacob, my servant, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen, for I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your offspring, my blessing on your descendants. Yeshua further clarified how water represented the Ruach. John 7, verses 37 through 39 tell us on the last and greatest day of the feast, Yeshua stood up and cried out loudly, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Now he said this about the Ruach, whom those who trusted in him were going to receive, for the Ruach was not given yet, since Yeshua was not yet glorified. Now remember, when we're talking about the Spirit, the Ruach, or the Pneuma in Greek, this does not necessarily refer to a living being, although it certainly can be one. A ruach or a pneuma is a life force that can influence us, can have a constructive or destructive impact on us, and can change or transform us. So, for instance, the Holy Spirit of God, the Ruach HaKodesh, is a living being that causes a constructive impact. Demons, on the other hand, are living beings that cause a destructive impact. Thought patterns and beliefs that we choose to adopt are also spiritual forces, or ruachs, or pneumas. When our beliefs conform to God's truth, they can transform us for the better, and when our beliefs are contrary to God's truth, they transform us for the worst. John told us we shouldn't just accept the spirits, we should test the spirits to see if they are really from God. 1 John 4, verses 1 through 3, he says, loved ones, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. You will know the Ruach Elohim by this. Every spirit that acknowledges that Messiah Yeshua has come in human flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Yeshua is not from God. This is the spirit of the anti-Messiah, which you have heard is coming and is now already in the world. We can recognize godly spirits by whether they acknowledge that Yeshua is the Son of God. The real Yeshua, not some made-up Yeshua that they have. The real Yeshua. But we can also recognize godly spirits by the fruit that grows in our life. The fruit that grows depends upon the action of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, in our lives. So the first point was understand what light is. Second, separate light from darkness. Third, separate the waters. And the fourth point is bear fruit. Doesn't mean like bear grr, fruit. It's bring out fruit. Third day is when living plants were created. The actions of the other days prepared the earth for this. This is finally when physical life appeared on the earth. Genesis 1 verses 9 through 13 tell us, God said, let water below the sky be gathered to one place. Let dry ground appear. And it happened so. God called the dry ground land, and the collection of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the land sprout grass, green plants yielding seed, fruit trees making fruit, each according to his species, with seed in it upon the land. And it happened so. The land brought forth grass, green plants yielding seed, each according to its species, and trees making fruit with the seed in it, each according to its species. And God saw that it was good. So there was evening, and there was morning, a third day. David understood how conforming to God's word can be compared to a healthy, living plant. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 6 tell us, happy is the one who has not walked in the advice of the wicked, nor stood in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the Torah of Adonai, and on his Torah he meditates day and night. He will be like a planted tree of streams of water, producing its fruit during its season. Its leaf never drops, but in all he does, he succeeds. The wicked are not so, for they are like the chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand during the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For Adonai knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will lean to ruin. The fruit we bear in our lives depends on three things. First, how closely our understanding of good and evil, true and false, conforms to God's declaration of good and evil, or true and false. Now, we can have a misunderstanding of what God says is good due to a lack of understanding of the Bible. This is why it is so important to be continually reading God's word. Something doesn't become good just because we believe it was good or because we were taught that it's good. Something is good only because God declares it to be good. We need to understand that from his word. Second, depends on how well we have chosen to separate the good from evil, the true from the false in our lives. We can choose to misapply God's truth, and we can choose to practice what he says is evil. If we are believing and practicing what God says is evil, we are putting ourselves in spiritual bondage. Third, how we choose to respond to various ruachs in our life will influence how we bear fruit. If we are not taking every thought captive in obedience to Yeshua, but are allowing ungodly thoughts to linger in our believing lies, we are putting ourselves into spiritual bondage. See, spiritual bondage can lead us to committing sin. And if we believe we can just ignore the sin, we're putting ourselves deeper into spiritual bondage. We must confess the sin to God, agree with him on the nature of what we have done, and as soon as possible, repent in order to get free. Otherwise, we remain in bondage. Paul tells us the kind of fruit we will bear if we choose to live by God's Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 tell us the fruit of the Ruach is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. We can't manufacture any of those. You try to make yourself have peace. You might sit and chant or something. All you do is you give yourself over to another spirit. We can't manufacture. Those only come from God's spirit in our lives. So the first point is understand what light is. The second point is separate light from darkness. Third, separate the waters. Fourth, bear fruit. And fifth, observe the effects. God's creative pattern allows us to see the effects of how we and those around us have chosen to create ourselves concerning how we think and what we believe. Genesis 1, verse 14 through 19 say, "Then God said, let lights in the expanse of the sky be for separating the day and the night. They will be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. They will be for lights in the expanse of the sky to shine upon the land." And it happened. Then God made the two great lights, the greatest light for dominion over the day and the lesser light, as well as the stars for dominion over the night. God set them in the expanse of the sky to shine on the land and to have dominion over day and over night and to separate the light from the darkness. God saw that it was good, so there was evening and there was a morning, a fourth day. By looking around us, we can easily see the effects of what people have chosen to believe. We can see the light, we can see the darkness, we can see the light in the midst of the darkness, we can even see it within ourselves. John 3, verses 19 through 21 tell us, "This is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and men love the darkness instead of the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, so that their deeds will not be exposed. But whoever practices the truth comes to the light, so that it may be made known that his deeds have been accomplished in God." There are people who hate goodness and truth, who hate the light. They prefer to live in evil. Any one of us can fall into that trap. All we have to do is decide what we think is light, not separate the light from the darkness, not separate the waters, and that's exactly where any one of us can be. The results of this are disastrous to individuals and nations and the world. Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 5, verses 20 through 24, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who present darkness as light and light as darkness, who present bitter as sweet and sweet as bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Woe to those who are heroes at drinking wine and valiant at mixing drinks, who justify the wicked for a bribe and deprive the innocent of justice. Therefore, as a tongue of fire consumes straw and as chaff collapses into the flame, so their root will be like rot, and their blossoms will go up in dust, for they have rejected the Torah of Adonai Tzevaot and have despised the word of the Holy One of Israel." The Holy One of Israel, Yeshua himself, they have despised his word. Now, we tend to use the word oi lightly, like, oi, look what she's wearing. According to Strong's Dictionary, oi in the Bible is a lamentation, a passionate cry of grief and despair. Very serious thing. Some versions translate it as woe, trying to get across the idea that this isn't just some light thing. People who substitute evil for good will find themselves in grief and despair, and unfortunately the people around them will feel the effects of that. Multitudes of people substituting darkness for light will plunge a nation into grief and despair. And we see that happening in the world around us, and we see it progressively happening in our nation as we substitute light for darkness, darkness for light, as we believe any old spirit. We don't separate the waters. We can see the results of improper creation of minds not only in others, but also in ourselves. We see it as the fruit we are bearing. Often we're bringing forth bad fruit. Yohanan the Immerser, John the Baptist, told people in Matthew 3, verse 8, therefore produce fruit worthy of repentance. Yeshua said that the fruit we bear comes from the good and the evil, or the light and the darkness in our hearts. Luke 6, verses 43 through 46 tell us, for there is no good tree that produces rotten fruit, nor again does a rotten tree produce good fruit. Each tree comes to be known by its own fruit. For figs are not gleaned out of briars, neither are bunches of grapes gathered from thorn bushes. Out of the good treasure of his heart, the good man brings forth good, and out of evil, the evil man brings forth evil. For from the overflow of the heart, his mouth speaks. Then he went on, why do you call me master, master, and do not do what I say? Substituting light for darkness. You're my master, but I'll do whatever I want. I'll make up my own version of light. I'll make up my own version of truth. But you're the Lord. We bear bad fruit because Yeshua is not truly the Lord of our lives. We have a different belief regarding good and evil and regarding what spirits we are choosing to follow. Behavior modification is not the answer. That seems to be what our society tries to do. We'll change your behavior. The behavior results from a wrong understanding of good, not separating good from evil and following the wrong spiritual influences. For the behavior to change, I have to have a right understanding of what is good, I have to separate good from evil, and I have to choose the spirit that I will follow. In closing, I just want to say, maybe you find yourself lacking fruit. Perhaps you feel like you're in a distant relationship with God. You're God's workmanship. Amen? Who in here is not God's workmanship? See, we all are. But he will only do what we allow him to do. We have a choice as to how we create our minds, and he will work us according to how we believe and how we choose to live. The answer for our problems in life, when we're not bearing fruit, when we're falling short, when our relationship with God and others is lacking, we use God's creation model. We use God's creation model to recreate ourselves. First of all, do you understand what light is? Does your belief about good and evil agree with what God says? There's many people that say, I believe in God, but then they spend almost no time trying to learn what he says. When you take the good test, it's apparent people will say, oh, I follow the Ten Commandments, but they can't say what they are. They choose to believe whatever they want about what is good and have sometimes substituted evil for good, darkness for light, without even knowing it. Now, I will suggest that since we don't have the omniscience of God, the likelihood is that there are some areas where we are believing evil is good and good is evil. The more of those we root out from our lives, the better we can be what God created us to be. The more we understand God's definition of good, the better we are able to believe him and live accordingly. That's where the change comes from. Isaiah 2, verse 5 says, come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of Adonai. It's impossible to walk in the light of Adonai unless we have a good understanding of what Adonai's light is. And this verse tells us that there were people choosing to not walk in the light of Adonai. Are you choosing to walk in Adonai's light or light that you choose to believe? Second, have you separated the light from the darkness in your life? See, sometimes we continue practicing things God calls evil because we don't think they're very serious. Can you see Eve saying, it's just a piece of fruit? No big deal. Are there some things in your life that God calls darkness, but you've decided they aren't really that bad and they're okay? How we separate the light and the darkness will filter into how we live our lives. Maybe you've decided, a little gossip isn't really that bad. Perhaps you think sinning in your anger doesn't really give the devil a foothold. I don't have to repent from that. Maybe you believe your situation is special and you don't really have to forgive. Perhaps you've said some things to others, and you don't want to apologize or try to make it right between them. Maybe you're allowing pride to determine how you live. God still resists the proud, even if we chose to ignore our pride. Perhaps you're looking at things you shouldn't be looking at, committing adultery in your heart regularly, but don't think it's a big problem because everybody in the culture is doing it, and I like doing it, and it's not a big problem, and I'm not hurting anybody, and the list goes on and on. Maybe you're in a relationship that's contrary to what God says in His Word that He allows. Perhaps you cheat on your taxes a little or just steal small things from the place where you work because they have a lot, they won't miss it, and it's not that big of a deal. But stealing is still stealing no matter the size, and God says it is darkness. Maybe you think your sin is small enough you don't really need to confess it to be forgiven, or maybe it's so big you are totally embarrassed to go to God and discuss it. If that's the place that you are in either one of those conditions, I'm telling you that as long as we have unconfessed, unrepented sin in our life, Satan has a foothold into us, no matter how big or small the sin. And the more sins we have, the greater the foothold is that Satan has in us, the battle for the mind will intensify. If you have a sin so big that you don't even want to think about it, you certainly don't want to go talk to God about it because you're so embarrassed, I'm going to urge you to reconsider. Because if you are a child of God, are we all children of God? We all believe in Yeshua. The scripture tells us we can boldly approach the throne of grace and find mercy and help in time of need. The scripture says that we have a spirit wherein we cry, Abba, Father. Abba is like daddy. In other words, God sitting in the throne room, managing the entire universe, we can walk in there and say, Daddy, I just sinned. I have a friend who is in Wyoming Correctional Facility now. He used to be in Wendy. He killed his wife. He did exactly that. He walked in the throne room of God and he said, Daddy, I committed murder. What do you think happened to that sin in him? If you meet him, you'll find that he's one of the freest people that you will see, even though he's behind bars, because he has chosen to take his sin to Abba Father. And when he got there, Daddy said, I knew you were going to do that before you did it. I've just been waiting for you to come and talk to me about it so I can forgive you. That's how we break free of the hold of Satan in our life. Not by fighting and struggling mentally, but by confessing our sin and repenting it and going to the one who takes away the sin of the world and offering it to him. Light and darkness must be separated. They cannot be merged, no matter how small an amount. If we choose to believe that what God prohibits is somehow acceptable, or if we choose to believe we can get away with not doing what God says to do, we're living in deception. And if the truth makes us free, the lie puts us in bondage. We're not trusting God. We will not bear good fruit. John tells us, John 12, verses 44 through 46, Yeshua cried out, "Whoever puts trust in me believes not in me, but in the one who sent me, and whoever beholds me beholds the one who sent me. As light I have come into the world, so that everyone who trusts in me should not remain in darkness." When we trust in anything but Yeshua, we remain in darkness. It's not enough to say, okay, Yeshua, you're the Lord, I won't steal, but I'm not turning the other cheek. It's not enough to say, well, I'll love my enemy, but I can still look a woman any way I want. We have to trust in Yeshua in order to bear fruit. The third thing, have you separated the waters in your life? Yeshua told a woman at a well about living water that only he can give. John 4, verse 14, he said, "Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never be thirsty. The water that I give him will become a fountain of water within him, springing up to eternal life." Eternal life. We're all made as eternal creatures. We will all survive, but will we be connected to God? Eternal life is an eternal relationship connected, joined to God. Are you led by the water that Yeshua gives, the Spirit of God? Or do you follow any other water, any spiritual force, and entertain any thoughts that happen to come into your mind? Following the lead of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, is the key to living as God intends us, free from the bondage of sin, free from the desires of our flesh. Paul tells us in Galatians 5, verse 16, I say, walk by the Ruach, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. It's not fighting the desires that I have and struggling to be a good person. It's walking according to the Spirit of God. And when I stumble, I do exactly what God says. I confess it. I repent it. I believe that I am restored, and I get back up and walk again. The fourth question is, are you bearing good fruit? See, the fruit grows on a tree when it gets proper light and enough good water. If you've ever seen the plant lights, I have one. It's kind of a reddish-blue color. The plant doesn't need all of the different colors of wavelength, but if I eliminate the red and the blue, the light will be fine. It'll look good for me to see, but the plant will not flourish because it's not getting the light that it needs. It's not getting the right light. Fruit is not something we create. We bear fruit that corresponds to the light that we've chosen to allow in our lives, the water we allow in our lives. It's something produced by the ruachs, or spirits, that we allow ourselves to be influenced by. In order to bear godly fruit, we must continually live in Yeshua. John 15, verses 1 through 6, Yeshua said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he trims so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. The branch cannot itself produce fruit unless it abides on the vine. Likewise, you cannot produce fruit unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and dried up. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. See, when we live in Yeshua, believing in him, trusting in him enough so we continually practice what he preaches, he will live in us, so that we can bear fruit. This is the only way. I like to point out that the word abide means to live someplace willingly. And when I go into jail and I talk to the men there, I say, well, you're living here, but you're not abiding here because this isn't the place you want to be. And they agree. But I also point out that abide means to comply with or submit to something. And so they have to comply with and submit to the rules in jail. And so in that respect, they are abiding in jail. To abide in Yeshua means I willingly comply with and submit to what he says. Whether I think it's light or dark is irrelevant. If he says it, it's light. And when I submit myself to his lordship, that's when I can bear fruit. That's when the bad behaviors stop. That's when the behavior changes. That's when the battle for the mind begins to go down and diminish to almost nothing. The question is, will we continually practice what he preaches? So, Father, I thank you for the message that you've given us. I thank you for creation. I thank you for the pattern that you put in the very creation itself and gave elements of that creation to help us understand what's going on around us. I'm asking you, please show us where we need to be recreated. Please show us where we have the wrong light in our lives, where we've chosen to believe something false. Show us things we believe are good, but you say are bad. Show us things we believe are bad, but you say are good. Help us to have only the light of Yeshua in our life and to believe only the truth and to throw away the lie. Show us where we have substituted darkness for light, evil for good. Show us the things that we're allowing in our life that are not pleasing to you because they are so harmful to us that we can put them away, that we can confess and repent. Show us the sins that we are believing that we haven't brought to you yet, that we need to take ownership of, that we need to agree with you on, that we need to turn from those sins and receive your forgiveness. Help us to put the evil and the lies out of our lives and not be complacent about just tolerating them. Help us to bear the fruit of repentance. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord, our Savior, amen. Thank you very much.